little ridiculous. I think you guys cut me short.
If you have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 18. And we're just going to read a few verses there, down to verse 10. And if you don't have your Bibles and you need one, please see us. Please see us if you don't have a Bible. We want to make sure that everyone has the Word of God in their hands because we believe that it brings life and health to everyone that grabs a hold of it and reads it, studies it, and applies it to their lives through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Joshua 18 in verse 1, it says, "Then the whole congregation, the sons of Israel, assembled themselves at Shiloh, and they set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. There remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, 'How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves three men from each tribe, that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land and write the description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me. They shall divide it into seven portions. Judah shall stay in the territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in the territory to the north, and they shall... you shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the description here to me. I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them.' Then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, 'Go walk through the land and describe it, and return to me. Then I'll cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh.' So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in seven divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions." Now, I don't know what you read when you read that, but it sounds like Joshua was pretty good at rolling the dice. That's what I say. They were going to cast lots. They were going to throw it down and figure out who gets what. They were making decisions. And you know what? Sometimes in our lives, we're going to have to throw the dice. Sometimes we're going to have to cast lots. We're going to have to make a decision, in other words. Joshua had to come to a point to make a decision on who gets what piece of property. But the scripture that I want you to focus on, he said, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, has given you?" How long will you put it off? And obviously, we're living here in America, but we're not talking about a parcel of land as we look at this from a spiritual perspective. That God is looking at us from a spiritual perspective, and have you taken the land that the Lord has given you? Why haven't you? Here they are. They're coming to Joshua and say, "We haven't taken the land." Joshua said, "Look at it. It's there for the taking. It's already there. We've already defeated the enemies," right? Joshua's getting old and he says, "Why haven't you guys taken the land?" And you know what? As we walk in the Lord for quite a while, that land that we have to take now, it's a spiritual territory for each and every one of us. And that spiritual territory is in our head. Because so many have not taken the land that God has given. They haven't grabbed a hold of the truth that God proclaimed in His Word. And it's always, as Brother Elbert Willis used to say, it's always because of them and those. Amen? It's always because of people that limit us from establishing who we are in Jesus Christ and then attaining that land that God has given us. He's given you a land, and it's a land of freedom. He's given you a land, and it's a land of abundance. Amen? He said He's going to put you in broad places, didn't He? But how many dream about broad places? How many think about broad places? Or how many think mostly about someone else and what they did to us? How confining is that? Right? How long during the day, and no hands raised, all right? Nobody raising your hands. How long during the day, I said nobody, you don't listen very well. How long during the day do you spend thinking about other people and what they have done to you or what someone has said about you that's wrong or maybe how you perceived it? How long do you sit and meditate on that? And it consumes and controls, doesn't it? The whole day. Sometimes the whole day goes by. It depends on how deep the pain went, doesn't it? It depends on what they said or what they did, how they said it, where you're at that time in that season, how much land you're going to take. And so many times, God said, listen, I've given you freedom. He said that Joshua said, why haven't you gone and taken the land? Why haven't you gone and received what's already been paid for, what's already been fought for, what's already been conquered? It's been conquered. There were other tribes, but these tribes are going to do nothing. The ones that they left in the land were only subservient to the children of Israel. They were the ones that carried the water and cut the lumber. The ones that left in the land, they were just servants. Can I tell you, every demon in here, although as I look around, we might have to do a little work after church, but every demon out there is subservient to you. None of them have authority over you. None. But is that what you think? You see, because are you walking into the land that God has given you, which is a land of freedom? Or does a thought come, well, I don't know, I'm afraid. Do you draw back when something happens and say, no, I can't go out there. That's too crazy. I think about Wayne and Lisa. He sells his business, his house, and they go to Haiti. And he stepped into his calling, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. They're at perfect peace in Haiti. They don't even want you flying into Haiti. They're shutting down the flights. Nobody going in or out. It's too crazy. There could be protests. If they go to Port-au-Prince, they got to leave and be out of the city and back home by 6 o'clock at night. Otherwise, there's roadblocks. And you got to pay between Port-au-Prince and the 3.5-hour ride to his house. There could be 7 roadblocks. And you got to pay at every roadblock if you want to get through, if they let you get through. And so our government says, don't even go there. Wayne and Lisa said, this is the center of paradise. Men say, Americans say, don't go there, brother. You don't understand. Wayne and Lisa say, we understand. God is our provider. Because when you do walk in your calling, can I tell you, he makes a way. But so many people have not entered the land that God has already given them. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So the land of sin, you're no longer a part of. Amen? You're no longer a part of. we live in a fallen world, but sin doesn't consume you anymore. Sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. You've left that place. Thank God. I remember that day I left that place. Right? The thoughts come. Hey, you're really not free. Hey, who do you think you are? Friends try to encourage you in that too. We remember what you're really like. We know who you really are. An elder in the church, way do we tell everybody who you really are? And some people shy away. I can't go there. That's not who I am. I'm not sure who I am. They haven't left that place of bondage and stepped into the place that God has already prepared for them, that he paid the price. Jesus said, it's finished. The devil has been conquered. Amen? Yes. Death, hell, and the grave has been overcome. Has it not? Yes. Right. So therefore, it no longer has dominion over you. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm free from that mess. Right. And let me tell you something. Before Jesus Christ, you were a mess. Your life was a mess, your thoughts were a mess, your heart was a mess, your deeds were a mess, your tongue, forget about it. That thing was horrible. But thank God when we started to step into the land that God gave us, it's a land that changed all around us. The limitations from the fall have been neutralized by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything that we lost in the fall has been neutralized, and you have no limits. You have no limits in Jesus Christ. You have to step outside. Listen, we're limitless in Christ. That means there's nothing. There's no place you can't go. There's nothing within the confines of the Word that you can't do. God showed me, that I was going to open up a home for wayward children. We're going to fill it with a house. God told me I was going to go to Haiti. God showed me this. Good. There's nothing that's off the table. As long as you're going to step into the land that God has given you.
But how many Christians walk through their lives and they never encounter that place where his glory fills the room and they are perfectly content just doing what he's called them to do? How many failed to step into that place? John 10:10 says a thief comes, right, but to steal, kill, and destroy. And I came that you might have life and what? Have it more abundantly. So there's an abundant life. We've stepped out of lack and we've stepped into an abundance. And we're not talking about money. We're talking about the presence of God. Because in his presence, there's a fullness. Amen? No matter where you go, when you walk in the presence of God, there's a fullness that comes. The Hassan Jews are in Haiti and there's a fullness when they walk into the room. Listen, they were down there for 3 years. And like he said, God said it was time to step back from what I was doing. Because God wanted more time with him. He's got a little bit different direction. I think that's true for some of us in here. Maybe it's time to step back, sit with God, and allow him to take you in a little bit different direction. And can I tell you, when Wayne did that, a school opened up to preach in. 60 teenagers every week. He's preaching the word of God in Creole. Redoing the teachings that we have here in Creole and building the kingdom. Before, he was getting rid of fleas on dogs and neutering pigs and goats and dehorning them and that, those kind of things, you know. He's doing all of that stuff to the animals because he's a vet. And then God said, hang on a second, that's not the focus of Haiti. That's not why I brought you down here to take care of animals. I brought you down here to deliver a nation. And I believe that's true for every single person in here. The call of God on your life, when we step into that land, that promised land, it's a land where there's freedom because we renew our minds through the reading of the word. Amen? Therefore, my marriage is what the word of God says it is. And then I work in conjunction with the word of God to produce a marriage that gives me that freedom to follow after God. That we walk together, one with another. And I've told you before, you know, when we were coming to Hudson, and I said, Brent, I believe, you know, God's calling us to Hudson, and the elders are in agreement. Or actually, they said, we believe it's the word of God for you. And I said, we need to go over there. And she said, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth, but if it fails, it's all on you. So our marriage still needs work at times, right? But can I tell you, I knew that I had to step out of where I was into where God was calling me. There was a place that God was calling me to, and I knew that I wouldn't be satisfied anywhere else. I want you to know you'll never be satisfied in any other land other than the land he's called you to. He's already cleared a path. He's already made a way. Didn't he say, I'm the way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and I'm your very life. Life outside of me has no meaning. None. There's no purpose to it. A life, and we've all lived, not all, some of these kids have been raised in church their whole lives, but those that came to Christ later on, we've all lived a useless part of our days. Or a wasted part of our days. We've spent time, if we didn't know Jesus Christ in the beginning, we've wasted time. And then we stepped out of darkness into his marvelous light, into that land that Joshua was saying, hey, why didn't you? And I remember talking to some of my friends when I got saved. I had no idea what I was saying at the time because I didn't know the word. But I said, why don't you guys want to do it? And they were like, no, not us. That's boring. Now, that's not fun. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but once I accepted Jesus Christ, I wanted nothing to do with what I was doing because what I was doing was ugly. And now all of a sudden we're cleansed and we're made whole. And he brought us into a land that he's prepared and he drove out. He cleansed the land before I even got there. He made a way where there was no way. Not only did he open up a door into another realm, called his presence, but then he also put people around me to help keep me there. How many people did it take to keep you there? Huh? How many people had to keep praying? How many people had to keep, hey, get back over, hey, get back over, hey, get back over, keep grabbing your arm, and you kept on wanting to go off. No, them people at church, they didn't say hi to me, they're just mean. Well, that's mainly, you know, the elders, but the rest of them are very nice, all right?
The rest of them are very nice. But it doesn't take much for us to want to go back to the pig food. When we're in here for a little while, the enemy always wants to try to bring something up that causes you to feel. To feel. God said we walk by faith. He said we walk by our feelings. That's what got us into trouble in the first place. And you know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time that we walked in a greater faith than what we've walked in before. Because the God life, he said that I'm bringing you into a place of abundance. And that's that God life or the spirit life. You're never going to be satisfied unless you're walking in the spirit route life. Bless you. And when you walk in the spirit, everything starts to change. Because you're no longer looking for the accolades of man. You're no longer looking at what the group is doing. You're no longer worried about what you're going to receive. How many received an inheritance that's amazing? Huh? Right? Because if you know Jesus Christ, he's already preparing a place for you. I don't know what yours is going to look like, but it ain't going to look like mine, I'll tell you that much. I haven't told anybody the secrets that I've been telling Jesus of what I'm looking for. And I know that what he's going to produce is something that far out that supersedes anything that I could ever dream of, just being in the presence of God. You know, when we memorize a phrase or a line or a verse from God's word, it's like implanting a powerful radioactive word in our minds from the very throne room of God. When it comes in, it starts to diffuse and destroy and consume all the lies of the enemy. One word from him, my love is from when? Everlasting to everlasting. Do you believe that? Because you see, when you grab a hold of that thought, his love towards me, tell your neighbor, say towards you. Right. His love towards you is from everlasting to everlasting. And when that comes in, into your eyes, into your mind, and that starts to burn, it burns away the lie. The rejection starts to die. The discouragement starts to disappear. The fear starts to dry up and blow away. No, because his love is never ending. It's everlasting to everlasting. No matter where I am, he is. And it starts to change everything. But how many read the word so sporadically? John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. He's passed out of the realm of death into Zoe life or into a spirit-filled life. Death no longer has control of you. Fear no longer has control of you. Right? Rejection no longer has control of you. We're not afraid of that anymore. Death, we don't fear it. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the day with being with the Lord. Bible says, or Paul said, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he said, when I die, oh, I'm going to know a whole lot more. I'm going to enjoy a whole lot more. Where I'm going, for me to live, I'm going to live like Christ, and I don't want to leave here until I'm done with my job. But for me to die, it's going to be amazing what God is going to do. You now live in a different realm. Your borders and authority have changed. Your borders have changed. Before you had walls. Some people never leave the town that they were born in. Some people never go outside the borders of Hudson. I just want, for those of you that live in Hudson, there's more besides Hudson. There's more than CVS, Cascades. Okay, there's more for those of you who have never left. There's so much more outside the borders and the parameters that you put on your life. Listen, in Earlton, we didn't even have a restaurant. We had a firehouse, we had a post office, and we had an Earlton store. And that's it. And I would walk down there, and it was, maybe 300-400 yards from my parents' house. And I would walk down there to get a dozen eggs, a gallon of milk, and a loaf of bread. And inevitably, by the time I walked there and got there, I forgot one of those things. And Mr. Sterner owned the store, and I would say, Mr. Sterner, yep, can you call my mom? Why, Jerome? Because I forgot what I'm supposed to pick up. He'd dial the four numbers on the rotary phone. And he'd say, Judy, it's Carl. And she'd go, Because she knew what happened, that I forgot within 300 yards of leaving the house what I'm supposed to pick up again. Again. But can I tell you, when I stepped outside of Earlton, when I got outside of Earlton, I looked around and thought, my goodness, look at all that God has created. This is amazing. God opened up a door. What He has created for your life is amazing. Don't sell yourself short. You've stepped into another realm. Why haven't you possessed the thought process that all things are possible? But there's a qualifier on that. Are all things possible for your life? It is for them that what? Believe. So there's a qualifier. It's about believing. It's about believing that you stepped into that land that God has already prepared. You stepped into that calling that God has already prepared. You stepped into using that gift that God has already prepared. How many are afraid to use the gift that God has given because of somebody next to you when it came from the throne of God? How many think, wait a minute, this is a new place that you live. It's a place called freedom. It's a place called the spiritual realm. Therefore, when God gives you a word for somebody, you give it to them. Isn't that a great idea? There's people that had words today, didn't give them. I'll be calling you this week. God told me who you were. I'll be calling you. You see, when He said you pass by judgment into eternal life, you pass by death. Everything that death controls and death has as far as the demonic realm, it produces hatred, bitterness, division, unforgiveness, pain. And listen, God and the devil, they're both eternal, aren't they? They never end. Their lives never end. Now we know that where Satan's going to spend eternity, but he's eternal. He never ends. So therefore, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, all of that stuff, we know that that's going to end in our lives one day. How about we start today? Because we live in a different realm. And when we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, we don't live there no more. We stepped out of that bondage, and now we stepped into a life of a spiritual realm where He says, now I'm going to bring abundance into your life. Abundance of joy, abundance of peace, abundance of love, abundance of mercy, abundance of grace, grace upon grace. For every situation. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my situation. Yes, I do. I know your situation. Your situation is pathetic if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, isn't it? The reason why we're in situations is when we deny the Word of God. Isn't that pathetic for Christians? When Christians get into a situation, what's our confession? I'm in bondage. We don't say that. They hurt me. Yeah, they hurt a lot of people. Welcome to the list that that person has. But Jesus said, wait a minute, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come to set you free. I've come so that you would be strong enough to forgive those that have hurt you. I can't step into that land that you gave me, Lord. That's too scary. Because I can't get my revenge. I can't exact judgment on them. Wait a minute, that's not the life that we live anymore. We stepped out of there. Now we've stepped into a place of freedom to be able to forgive those who have offended us. John 16, 33, you all know very well. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer. Good. Tell your neighbor, say, smile. All right. Probably the first time this week they have. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome what? The world. I have overcome. In other words, He said, I know you're going to walk through stuff in the natural, but be of good cheer. When you step into the spirit realm, you're going to have the strength to walk through in victory. And the world isn't going to control you and consume you. Somebody else isn't going to dictate what you do or don't do. Amen. Isn't it amazing to take control of your life back? Right? Sometimes we lose control of our life. There's people that lose control of their life all the time. You know how we know? Go to the supermarket.
not going up that aisle. Oh no, Harry's coming down that aisle. Sally's coming down that aisle. I don't want to even see them. I don't want to talk to them. Oh no, why? Because they didn't sit next to me in church. So offended. Let's step into the spiritual side of things. The Bible says, bless them that what? Curse you. Pray for those that what? Spitefully use you. Ooh. That sounds like freedom, doesn't it? Yeah. That's some of the toughest freedom you'll ever walk in, let me tell you. That'll be the toughest freedom. But when you get there, oh, oh. Remember, forgiveness is about what? It's about setting someone free only to find out that person is me. Right? And so as we walk into that place that God wants you to walk in, when you start to step into that land, it's time to possess that freedom that God has promised you. The Hassingers are walking in their freedom. I want every single person in here to be able to walk in that place that God has called you to. That's it. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever He has put that calling, place it upon your life for you to walk out that gifting so that the whole world would see Jesus Christ in you. They would hear of words of life, words of mercy and grace. Christianity is the religion of confession. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Confession. Let us hold fast our confession. What is your confession? Is it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony? That's your confession, isn't it? Isn't that the scripture says? Hold fast your confession. Your confession can't be, they hurt me. Your confession can't be, I failed. You cannot fail when you walk in Jesus Christ. You might have to change. Did Wayne fail because God said, hey, I need you to step back. I've got something different for you to do. No, he just changed direction. God had something greater. I like it when God changes my direction. I think he's getting ready to change my direction again. I really believe that. And I think he's getting ready to change your direction. And guess what? That direction is into a land that he's already paid for. He's bought. It's into a mindset that is different than what you were living yesterday. Because if you don't learn anything different from today, then I have failed. But my desire is that you would say, wait a minute, I know that there is more. And it's already been paid for. And therefore, I'm going to walk in that freedom that I have. Joshua said, why haven't you? Very specific. Each individual, why haven't you? And if that's you this morning, everybody is different. Everybody's in a different place in their walk. But if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to step out into it. In verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Isn't that something? There goes all your excuses and mine. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with boldness or confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So the place that we're going to dwell is in the throne room. And in the throne room, there is no lack. Amen? Anything less than what the throne offers is not your full inheritance. Anything less than what the throne room offers is not your complete inheritance. So therefore, if you're not enjoying all the benefits of the throne room, then there's something maybe that we're missing. Each one of us. We're all in this together. Amen? So we've got to go back and look at what has been possessed or what has been paid for, and now we possess through the blood of Jesus Christ that's in the throne room that I'm not living in. That I'm not living in. Is it defeat? Is it distraction? There's one way to overcome. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. You're the greatest warriors that the world needs right now. But it's warriors in righteousness. warriors in righteousness, not in the natural, but warriors in righteousness with healing in their hands. Amen. The church is to be a body of believers that brings healing into the heart, into the mind, into people's lives completely. We're not to be distracted with the foolishness of this world. But I believe that God has called you for a time such as this. And the only question he's asking is, have you stepped into that land that I have bought and paid for? Have you stepped into that thought process where you believe my word rather than yesterday? Do you agree with what I have for you is greater than what you're chasing after? Do you agree that what God has is greater than what you're chasing after or where you're at right now? I believe that God's got more for me. There's something greater than what I'm enjoying right now. I haven't walked in the fullness of all that I've received in the throne room yet. But the closer I get with him, the more I get to enjoy it. And it doesn't include anybody else. Not to get it. They're the recipients of everything we get to walk in. Amen? Because the overflow of the reality of who you are in Christ, everybody else gets to see. But unless that reality, or unless it becomes a reality in our hearts, then they all lose outside the house of God. And we can't be those that sit in here and enjoy it. We've got to be those that share it. Because that those that haven't heard need to meet you. Tell your neighbor they need to meet you. Tell your other neighbor they definitely need to meet you. We do. Stand up this morning. They need to meet you. Those who have stepped out of darkness into his marvelous light, those that have been filled with the Spirit of the living God, those that said, I'm walking into that land that's already been possessed and paid for. It's already been prepared for me. I want you to know the whole path of your life has already been prepared for. You know, when you buy a new piece of land and it's all brush, our first piece that we bought when we were, or I was, it was given to me, for our wedding gift, sort of. And then we found out it wasn't my father's land that he gave us, so I had to purchase my wedding gift. But regardless, grace happens, right? He said, I owned this stone wall. No, he didn't. But anyway, the first brush lot that we bought, filled with brush and trees, and it was wet in some areas, and it had nothing. We went in there, and guess what? We had to clear a path to get off the road. We had to put in a driveway and clear a path for the pad and put the well and clear another swath for the septic system. But guess what? You don't have to clear the path ahead of you. That's good news. That takes a lot of work. It was 95 degrees, chainsaws, chips everywhere on your forehead, down your back. Frustrated. You don't have to clear a path. He said, I already made a way where there seems to be no way. So many sit there and say, I don't believe God can use me because you don't understand what I've been through. I believe God can use you no matter what you've been through. And in spite of you, in spite of me, he's used me. Let's make a decision that we're going to walk in his marvelous light and step into that land that's already prepared. Why haven't you? Oh, as I think about the goodness of God. If we would have said, no, I don't want to go to Hudson, I wouldn't have been able to meet all you beautiful people. Huh? Isn't that incredible? We wouldn't have been able to interact and help change each other's lives both ways. We wouldn't have had this big a family. It had been a much smaller family. But where God's calling you, it's much bigger than what you've ever experienced before. There's no lack where he's bringing you to. Please, there's no lack where he's bringing you to. In the land that he's promised you, there's no lack. Because that provision is always in the vision. No matter what. Oh, there might be tough times. There might be times when it's tight. But I want you to know there's no lack where he's bringing you. None. 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 That's not the God that we serve. It's not the God that we serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As your word comes in, as Joshua said. Lord, let it not be that someone else has to come up and say, okay, I'll do it for you. I'll tell you where you're supposed to go.
Have somebody else go out and walk it out for you and go ahead of us. Father, let us trust you. Let us be reminded that you made a way. Father, let us be reminded that you know our name and every hair on our head, that you have been with us every step of the way, that there's nothing lacking in you. Father, help us not to hold back or to draw back and to say, wait, I've got to wait, and somebody else has to hold my hand. Somebody else has to tell me, as Joshua had to tell them, what piece of property is theirs. Father, today we thank you that as each one of us pray and cry out to you, we start to do what you've called us to do. We start to agree that your word is true. And then we walk in that freedom, that your love is from everlasting, that your blood was enough to wash away all of our sins, that your spirit is our teacher and our guide and the one who leads us. We can run through that troop and jump over a wall. There's nothing impossible because we believe. And Father, because we believe, someone else's life is going to be changed. Because as it's been said, when we walk in a right relationship with you, other people's lives are changed. Father, I pray that we would walk in a right relationship with you. Oh, the joy of being called the children of God. The joy of knowing that if Jesus said it's expedient that he must go, that the Spirit would come to receive your Holy Spirit. The power from eternity. The eternal power of God working through us. Father, today, I pray that you would open every eye, that you would order every step. And Lord, every one of our hearts would be tender towards your leading, that we would close our mouths, and Father, we wouldn't step forward until we heard your voice say, come. But then, oh God, as we stepped into that place, as you have called us, we would never turn back. We'd never take our hands off of that plow. And we'd proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, whether it's to plant another church or go into the mission field or open up an orphanage or finance all these works, whatever it is that you've called each one of us to, Father, I pray that we would do it with all of our strength, because you alone are worthy of our surrender. You alone are worthy of our whole effort, our whole heart. Father, bless this body in the name of Jesus with every good gift. Bless him, oh God, with dreams and visions today. Bless him, Father, with understanding as they read your word daily. Father, that as they cry out to you, let them keep track of all the prayers that you answered. Father, let it be that one after another, after another, after another stands and says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Bless them, Father. They're going in and they're coming out. In the country and in the city, because you have made them the head and not the tail, each one of us. And Father, today we thank you for the freedom that we have in you, and we do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen.